Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you for being here with us today. We have got some more amazing best-selling authors to share with you today. I love that song. Mark Pogue from his album Through the Fire. That song is actually the intro to his song Money Can't Buy. And I'm just going to keep telling you about Mark and his album until every single person that's ever heard this show goes out and buys Mark's album Through the Fire. You can check out his album at our website, wehelpyouthrive.com/radio. Another thing that I'm just so excited about, and I have to recommend to you, is the VTech 4-line small business phone system. This thing, I keep telling you about how amazing this small business phone system is, but I'm concerned that some of you don't get it. So let me see if I can break it down to you. You've bought a phone before, right? And these days, almost everybody has a wireless phone. So you understand the concept of, you plug the base in and then the rest of the phones are wireless, right? Well, it's the same thing, except for in your house, you have a phone number that comes into your house. Whereas with this phone system, you have the ability to have 4 individual, unique, separate phone numbers that a person can dial your company for the different needs of your company. Maybe as CEO of your company, maybe you've grown big enough now that you need to have a separate number to contact people on and to have them contact you with. Maybe you need a distance, a little bit of step away, so that a person can't just call you on the phone without going through some hoops. And you can create a phone tree. You can have the phone go to a receptionist and have her pick up the phone and then forward it to your extension. So many different kind of things. Now, most of us worked in a business environment, so we're used to a phone that can take more than one call at a time. And I'm not talking about caller ID where you put somebody on hold or conference calling where you have multiple people, but I'm talking about, if Joe calls in, that's one phone line. And then if Sally wants to call too, that's a whole second phone line. And those can be simultaneous, separate conversations by 2 totally different people at the same time they're in your office. You really, really owe it to yourself to check out the VTech 4-line small business phone system. It is great for wherever you are in your small business to really have the most dynamically powerful, easy to use, easy to install, effective phone system, the VTech 4-line small business phone system. Again, thank you for you being here. I appreciate Mark and the intro he did. Mark, you're so awesome. I appreciate VTech. I do. I love having them as a sponsor. But the people that I really, really appreciate is you. The listener, the people who take time out of your day. Maybe you're driving in the car and you're listening on a terrestrial radio station, on one of the many terrestrial stations that our show is aired on. Maybe you are, maybe you're listening to us on iHeart or iTunes. Maybe you've downloaded it and you're listening to it on your iPod or, different things like that. I appreciate that you've taken the time today to be able to, to spend some time with us together and learn how you can thrive in your life and in your business, because that really is what it's all about. Kathy and I want to help you thrive. We want you to live such a fully complete life that you just you're beside yourself with how great your life is. And I'd love to hear from you anytime. Feel free to check us out. You can join our community of authors at bestsellersguild.com. That'll take you right to our Facebook page. You can make comments, here on wehelpyouthrive.com/radio on the different shows. And we really do want to know what you're thinking and really reach out to you. Always, you can hashtag on Twitter or Facebook, Thriving Entrepreneur, hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur, and that'll let us know. We check that every once in a while to see, what are people saying, and is there anything we could do? Is there a guest that we could bring to you to help you, with a particular situation? In the end, we really want to be a resource to help you thrive. And that's why our website is wehelpyouthrive.com, is because that's what Kathy and I want to do. So shout out to you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being so awesome. With that in mind, today we want to talk about a couple of ways that you can really share your awesomeness with the world, that you can on purpose be the best version of yourself. And by being that best you, by not being stuck in a mold of what the world tells you, how you're supposed to operate, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to feel, by being the best you that you can be, I guarantee you, you will change the world. If each of us just focuses on that one thing of being the best version of ourselves. So let me give you a couple of examples. Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. impacted the world. We're just not the same anywhere. I mean, especially in the United States, but really anywhere in the world. Because Dr. King stepped out and he... did the things that he did. He said the things that he said, and he was a stand for being the best version of himself. Mother Teresa has helped so many countless people, to move from the horrible situations they were in to having a little better life. I was reading a statistic actually about the impact that he's made all over the world. But Billy Graham, regardless of what religious background you come from, everybody knows who Billy Graham is. And he's gone around the world changing the world one person at a time as he's worked and walked his way through it. Now, the perfect example of that is Oprah Winfrey. Oprah has changed the face of television. She's changed every single TV, radio host, everything. And she did it just by being her. And she did it in spite of the fact that people told her, you aren't what people are looking to watch on television. You're never going to make it. She was actually fired from jobs because she didn't fit the mold of the average TV personality. And yet she held on to not only her dream, but she embraced being the best version of herself to really, truly step out there and give the world all that she could bring to the world, every last bit of it. And, and the world will never be the same. Another great example of that, somebody that just used their talent and changed the world, is George Lucas. Anybody that knows anything about film at all, I mean, and I'm talking about anything, like you've gone to a movie before, if you watched a VCR tape, if you're that old, at your house, you've downloaded a movie, whatever. George Lucas changed the face of cinema. It literally is the world of cinema before Star Wars and the world after. Not because, he did his best inversion of Francis Ford Coppola or anybody like that, but because he took that thing within him and he shared it with the whole world. And the face of how movies are made and how we look at movies has changed forever by him just simply showing up and being the best version of himself. And we all appreciate the things that he's done. And the list goes on and on. We could talk for the entire hour about people who simply just by being themselves have changed the face of the world. And now that's what I want for you. That's what I really mean. That's what I believe when I tell you that we want to help you thrive, is that you have within you the ability to change the face of the world, to shape the planet, make it a different place and a better place because you showed up as the best version of yourself. And if you will truly embrace that and then just be all that you can be in this world, the world will be a better place. That's something to live for, and that's a reason for each of us to be the best version of ourselves. So I encourage you to do that. We've got a couple of really amazing best-selling authors to present to you today. Great books that are going to show you a couple of new ways to be able to just really show up as amazing in this world and not give in to stereotypes or even government mandates, but live as an awesome, amazing, thriving entrepreneur because that's who you are. At the core of your being, that's how you show up in the world. And we're going to give you a few new tips on how you can do that even better. So hold on. We've got a great show, a couple of great authors to introduce to you today, and we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We are talking today about how you can thrive by embracing some new kind of concepts in your life. And so we really want to talk first off about a great book. It's called The Intentional Inclusionist, and it allows you the capability to learn how to be inclusive in the way that you approach the people in your life and the people who are part of your business. It's an important aspect of how we run business, but all too often it's been, you know, taken on as something that's mandated to us from the government rather than being something that we just do because we intentionally want to be inclusive of the people in our lives. And as we embrace intentionality in our inclusion of people, regardless of what race they are, but also because of their uniqueness, so that rather than being an inclusionist of millennials, of people that are older than us, of, you know, people from different religions, different genders, all those kind of things, we can then have the capability to really truly live the best version of our life and also have the best company because we get the broadest, most diverse opinions in our lives. So let's listen as we learn more about the intentional inclusionist. In this day and age, there are a lot of pressure on us, I guess is the best word to say, to be diverse, to be inclusive, to do a whole lot of things because we're mandated to do them. But what we really need to have in life is a attitude, a spirit of inclusion, because we really do want the views, the opinions from multiple people from different sectors so that we can have the most well-balanced, rounded company possible. And so to help us with that, I'm glad to have an expert, Nika White, Dr. Nika White, who is going to talk to us today about how you can be an intentional inclusionist. Nika, thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure.
I love the name intentional inclusionist. There's so many things that could be taken from that, but if you were to define it yourself, how would you define that phrase?
Well, it's actually a phrase that I came up with as I was thinking about the concept of this book. And I've always been a person that truly believes in the power of intention, the power of being very deliberate and having the forethought to, calculate your pathway of success. And so with all of the endeavors that I attempt, I do it with great tenacity and intention. And so as I became more and more interested in this phenomenon of inclusion and the opportunity that inclusion brings, it dawned on me that if we could teach people, particularly leaders, people of influence, to exercise a life with mindfulness around the work of inclusion, then we certainly could find a way of involving more people into the opportunity so that they can reach their full potential. And so, to define intention and then to define inclusion and putting them together, it's really just a matter of saying, let's be very deliberate and calculated and mindful about our ability to view life with the lens of inclusion so that as we make decisions, as we interact with others, we can do so involving people in a way where they feel valued, accepted, and get the best out of those in society.
And I know that, this wasn't something you woke up one morning and you're like, intentional inclusionist, I'm going to write that book. you've got quite a background in this area. Can you explain to people, your background so they understand where you're coming from?
Sure. So you're absolutely correct, Steve. This was not something that I set out to do in terms of become a diversity and inclusion practitioner. I kind of stumbled upon it. But when I look back on some of the signs that I realize now, all of those signs were really pointing me in this direction. And so it was really inevitable that I would land at this place. But my background is marketing communications. And so I spent a number of years working in that industry. And specifically, I was working for an advertising agency, and I love the fast-paced culture. I love how dynamic and creative and strategic the environment was. And I really enjoyed my career and thought that I was going to pursue that path for the long haul. But one day, I was sitting in my office, and literally I had this epiphany because I was reflecting on just how lucky and fortunate that I felt that I was to work in such a career path and enjoy it with great passion. And it occurred to me that there aren't very many others who look like me that's also taking advantage of this wonderful career path. And I'm an African-American female, and I have the wherewithal to quickly recognize that a lot of the clients that the agency I worked for that we were servicing, they represented constituents that were diverse America. And so it really just begs the question of why aren't we doing more to be intentional about leveraging the diversity of people to help make sure that we are smart, intelligent, effective marketing partners for our clients. And that's where I began to really recognize the draw that I have towards the underrepresented, the individuals that are underpopulated in certain environments. And I saw it as an opportunity, and I couldn't let that go. And that really was the start of me beginning to exercise even greater intentionality to align my career path and my interests with the work of inclusion.
And I love the work that you've done before, but one of the things, because we don't want to tell them the whole book, They got to read the book in order to get it all.
Absolutely.
One of the things that you and I talked about that I know is at least a part of the book has to do with hiring. I loved that concept. Can you explain your view on hiring and how to make that so that it's a diverse hiring group as opposed to, just the same old group of old white guys?
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's very deeply rooted in this word, you know, intention. We have to certainly make sure that if we want different results, that we are being innovative and creative in our approach to, you know, try some things that are different from what we've had in the past. And so oftentimes, what I will encounter when I work with a lot of different organizations and managers and executives and they're looking to fill a position is, you know, they will go through the traditional method of recruiting for that role. So they may put it on their website. They may, you know, put it on a job posting website. And the notion is, well, it's out there for anyone to access. And so clearly, you know, any and everyone are going to access it and it's going to automatically in this very organic way deliver this very diverse applicant pool. And what I counsel a lot of those individuals on is that that's not always the case. You do have to be intentional to create a diverse applicant pool. And that means, you know, connecting with a lot of the diverse community associations that have a high percentage of individuals that are different from those that you may have a large population of already in your organization. It may mean connecting with historically Black colleges and universities and individuals that have a large network of those demographics within their circle of influence that they can, you know, share information with. But it takes, again, just being intentional, getting outside of the box or the bubble, and really exercising some creative ways to expand, cast the net wide, if you will. And so that's part of one of the things that I talk about that relates very specifically to the essence of being intentional around the work of inclusion, because it doesn't happen organically.
One of the other great suggestions that you made was the concept of having a diverse group of people that are actually doing the interviews. So instead of it being an HR manager, it's an HR team, and they come from different views and different points, so that then after each of those people's interviewed, the person, they can come back together and have a consensus of who really fits good into the company, as opposed to one person hiring and they always end up hiring the same kind of people because that's who they relate to.
Yes, that is actually a really great best practice that many organizations are starting now to gravitate to. But instead of it being a scenario to where the hiring manager is the only person that will vet all of the applicants and then call in whoever they want for an interview, you do like a team interview approach where you bring in individuals across different disciplines, different departments, different demographics, and it helps to minimize the bias that sometimes can surface into a situation. And we all have biases, you know. I always tell people that if we have warm blood running through our bodies, which means we're simply living beings, that the propensity for us to have situations where bias may creep into our decision-making certainly is a reality. And so we have to make sure that we're aware of that so that we can combat that. I often hear a lot of people talk about they ended up deciding to extend an offer to someone because that person just felt like a good fit. Or to the opposite of that, they may decide not to advance someone into the application process because they did not perceive that person to feel like a good fit. But when you really dig deep and you start asking questions about, well, what is a fit from your point of view? How do you define fit? Oftentimes, it boils down to someone who is not quite like me. I don't feel like they will really completely gel with me and the others that are in this organization or on this team. And the reality, which is, you know, proven by statistics, is that we have greater problem-solving ability, greater ability to be more innovative in our approach to solutions and, you know, creativity when we are surrounded by colleagues that have different backgrounds, different skill sets. And diversity has many layers to it. It's not just about race, age, or gender. It goes much, much deeper than that. It's diversity of thought, diversity of experience, diversity of, again, the layers just go on and on. And so one of the things that I talk about in the book is helping people to fully understand how to define diversity and inclusion and how diversity and inclusion is practiced. And really the essence of it is just effective management and valuing of human difference. And I think that's an important point when we start to talk about diversity and inclusion. It's the valuing of human difference.
I like that, the valuing of human difference. Because it really is, you know, I have a personal pet peeve, and excuse me for a minute here, but I'm just going to share just a little bit of it with you. I really hate the word equality because You know, because that, forgive me for being too mathematically literate, but equal means that they're the same. You know, and I don't want to, you know, with my wife, she's an amazing person. She does some things that I cannot do. I don't want to be her equal. I want her to be the best she can be. And I want me to be the best me I can be. And when we start really emphasizing people's skills rather than sameness. Anyway, so that's the end of my my little rant there.
That's a really valid point, Steve. And if I may, I just want to kind of respond to it briefly, because, you know, when people say to me, or even if I overhear a conversation with someone who, by the way, I truly believe is probably well-intended when they make this statement, that they may share, I don't see race, I don't see age or gender, I just see the human race. And I believe that they're well-intended, because really what they're trying to communicate is, I don't let those differences impact how in which I may treat or interact with someone else. But what I like to challenge people to do is notice those differences. But you want to notice them so that you can leverage them so that there's greater output for collectively what you all are trying to accomplish. And so I think that you're right. We do have to make sure that we are understanding what uniqueness someone who's different from us may bring to the table, so that we are able to emphasize that for the betterment of what we're trying to accomplish. But I'm with you. I think the difference between equality and an equitable situation is that equality certainly does put us into a scenario to where we're trying to compare one against the other and make sure that there's sameness around the circumstances. But when you talk about equitability, that's when you're looking at what circumstances that even may be systemic in nature that prevents this person from being able to fully reach their potential, that is maybe not a barrier for another person who has, for whatever reason, not faced a scenario to where they aren't able to reach their full potential. So I do believe in creating a level of equitability within situations so that people can reach their full potential.
And I like that
word. You know, yeah. I mean, so one example could be, this is the reason why a lot of, you know, higher learning institutions will offer scholarships. Not everybody necessarily has that runway of success to where the means are there, resources are there to allow them to be able to perhaps go to college. And so, but that doesn't mean that that individual is not deserving of reaching their full potential and having, you know, the best opportunity for great education. And so scholarships oftentimes is a solution for that. And that's just one small example.
You know, it really is true. And one of the things that I love most about your book is, yes, there's a lot of laws that are out there that mandate this or mandate that, but it really isn't about that. It isn't even about how to best, if I can use the phrase, work the system, you know what I mean? But it really is about a whole different approach to us as people, you know, dealing with other peoples.
Yeah, so sometimes when I talk about diversity and inclusion, I usually categorize people into, or organizations rather, into like three categories, one of which is they do the work of inclusion for compliance reasons. And by the way, I refer to these as my three C's, but they do the work of inclusion for compliance reasons. And oftentimes they're doing the bare minimum just to make sure that they are following, you know, the legislation, that they are, you know, remaining legal, that they are compliant with whatever governing bodies that they may have to, you know, report up to. And then the second C would be for character reasons. They're doing the work of diversity and inclusion because it's the right thing to do. And I don't believe in diversity for diversity's sake. I think that there is a huge opportunity in diversity and that we need to leverage diversity in order to, again, you know, get the best results. And so when people, though, are reacting to the opportunities of diversity and inclusion because they really just are moved by that social consciousness, I find that it's a higher level of priority on the work of diversity and inclusion, but it's still not where I always encourage people and organizations to pitch their tent. I want people to do the work of diversity and inclusion for commerce reasons. And I know sometimes off the surface it can sound like that's pretty selfish. You know, why do you want to drive the work of inclusion? Because you want to make more money. It's not about making more money, but it is about getting the best output. And that's where I think that people can best resonate with the work of diversity and inclusion. Again, you know, those are you know, when we're driven by commerce reasons, that's when we now can recognize that if we are doing all that we can to create this culture of inclusion where all people are welcome and accepted, then we're going to have a greater chance of being able to attract talent from all over. And, you know, the best talent is not necessarily always right in your backyard. So you're going to have to make sure that you're presenting a case where people that are not even familiar with the geographic area, with the organization, can truly feel like, from whatever experience that they have, that they can thrive and be successful in that environment. And so I want people to see the benefits and the opportunity of diversity and inclusion, because when they do, that's when they're able to really intentionally engage in this work in a more effective way.
I can't encourage you enough to pick up the book from Amazon, The Intentional Inclusionist by Dr. Nika White. It is an amazing, amazing book that, regardless of what position you have in your company, whether you're the owner or you're just, you know, you work for yourself, you know, you work by yourself, it really is a skill set and a mindset that we really need to have in our life. And it's so well written to help us understand something that, like you said in the beginning, is all too often forced on us, and we don't really understand why. Really, you know, really do pick up the book, The Intentional Inclusionist by Dr. Nika White. Nika, thanks so much for spending some time talking to us today about this important subject.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Think of the ways in your life that you're going to begin to become intentional with your inclusion of other people's perspectives, their opinions, their input into your life and your business. It will make you a better version. In fact, I've even go so far as to say the best version of yourself as you become the intentional inclusionist. And I do hope that you'll check out the book on Amazon.com. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. How does this VTech four-line small business phone system thing work? I bet you're wondering a little bit, aren't you? You know, here's the thing. It's easy. I've explained that to you several times already. But now let's talk about what you can do with it. So let's say that you started off as a one-person company. It was just you. It's real easy. You know, you probably worked off of your cell phone or your home phone or those kind of things. And then you brought in an assistant or somebody, better yet, to answer the phone for you. I don't know about you, but I love it when somebody else picks up the phone and deals with the customer first, and then I can know what's going on, rather than just, you know, you pick up the phone and you don't know, is it a sales call? Is it a customer with a complaint? Is it somebody that, you know, you owe money to, somebody that owes you money? And just simply as making use of the four incoming lines, or if you only have one line, still making use of the phone tree so that a person presses one for the sales department and two, and then you can know up front, this is the kind of call I'm going for. And like you said, then you expand to the place where somebody else is answering the phone, and they can be that voice of the company, and then they can forward you. You can have voicemail specifically for the company on your phone, you know, and then that way, you're not dealing with the, was that a personal call that came in on my cell or was that a business call? You have a business phone system. Maybe you work from home to start off with, but at some point you're going to move into an office probably. And the office is going to need more and more and more phones. And it's easy to just be able to simply put another VTech four-line small business phone system phone on your desk, and boom, you've got an employee wired and ready to take calls and handle the world. It is such an amazing product, and I really do encourage you to check out the VTech four-line small business phone system. So in the last segment, we were talking about the power of intentionality, really, more than anything else, is what do you do on purpose? And how do you approach then the life that you're living, the people that are in your life? Think about that one for a minute. There is real power in intentionality, along with, of course, the power of an inclusive mindset rather than an exclusive mindset that keeps you from maybe getting the best of ideas. Now, in this segment, we want to talk to you about the biggest power that's out there in the world, because I know some of you, you're still on the fence. You're beginning to maybe thrive in your life, but you're still not sure about this whole business thing. I don't know if I want to have my own business or not. There are some really powerful things that you can only do in the world if you have your own business. And I just really want to encourage you to pay attention to this next interview, because I'm intentionally being a little vague here, because I'm really going to let these ladies introduce the concept to you. And I really want you to grab a hold of what they're saying, because if you will make the effort to really listen to what this is, I promise you, it's going to revolutionize your life. And of course, it's another best-selling book. So are you ready to find out who these wonderful guests are and what you can do to revolutionize your life starting right now today?
I am so blessed to have with me two wonderful women, Katrina and Tawana Wilson, and they are going to share with us their best-selling book, how they got there, and some secrets that you can learn from their book. Hi, guys. How are you today?
Hi, Steve.
We're well. How are you?
Thank you for asking.
How are you?
Doing good. So let's start off with the important part. Tell everybody the title of your book and how you came up with it.
Sure. It is titled The Untold Story,
Live with Your Regrets,
Die with Your Dreams,
or Choose to Walk in Your Awesomeness.
And how we came up with that is basically, I guess, pretty much the title, it says it all. It is our story, that's Katrina and I'm Tawana, it's our stories together and how we took our struggles and turned them into successes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, yes, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so before we start talking about the content of the book, give everybody just a little insight into the background of each of you. I'll let you go each one at a time.
Well, you know, we can really summarize it. Steve, this is Katrina, and I'll be happy to answer that question. Tawana and I met in our early 20s in San Diego, and at that time, we really found ourselves repeating our parents' struggles.
Exactly.
And as a result, like so many of us, we ended up with countless dead-end jobs, and the one that we're all familiar with, robbing Peter to pay Paul, and really frequenting pawn shops between paychecks because we lacked the knowledge of as to how to stop the cycle. Simply put, the struggle was inherited. It was passed down from generation to generation, and it's something that we, honestly, we fell into without even realizing it.
True. So basically, you know, just to recap and kind of end that on a note that would resonate with many, is that we bought into a program that was, you know, set and put in place by the system.
And that program, if you will, is to go to school, get a higher education, get a good job, Steve, you can't see my air quotes, good job, and climb the corporate ladder. So what we realized that after investing all, and I do mean all of our time and energy and money into the system, we found that we were set up to be brainwashed, broke,
and broken.
Absolutely. And that's the story in a nutshell.
Well, and the thing about it is that it wasn't like you were, you know, living in a pay-by-the-week hotel room, broke, you know, picking cans out of garbage cans in order to be able to, you know, get money. I mean, you guys were working good jobs.
Absolutely, right. And it's, and Steve, you know, so just to elaborate on that a little bit more, it's as if, you know, we all have the same program downloaded at birth. And the instructions we were given was to follow one career path. And again, that's to want to mention, go to school, get a higher education, you get a good job, you climb the corporate ladder, and we all live happily ever after. Well, so, you know, that sounds ideal. But we followed those instructions to the letter, as many of us have. And after school, what happens? We end up with unimaginable debt. That dream job that was promised only comes to some.
Most people can relate to that.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, time is ticking. You got bills to pay, a household to run, and most likely mouths to feed. You know, most of us have families. So, you know, we accept a position, and many of us live a mediocre position, I should say, and many of us live paycheck to paycheck while we're climbing that corporate ladder. So we end up being undervalued, overworked, underpaid, and unfulfilled. And so this is the truth of a failed system. This is the true definition of what a failed system is. And so we must, you know, understand that that's the truth of it. That's at the core of it. And so we must stop investing in someone else's dreams while we're neglecting our own.
Right.
So the thing I love most about the book is that you don't just, because there's a lot of people out there that have identified the problem, but all they do is talk about there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. You actually have a solution.
Yes. And the solution is really simple. I mean, because
right.
The number one problem that we find is fear,
right?
It starts with fear. You cannot let fear paralyze you from making progress. If you're connected with your passion and your purpose, you will work even harder to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And many will agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm.
So that's the solution.
You've got to
do not let it paralyze.
Absolutely.
You. Right. And to stay in action, you have to make incremental changes, incremental steps towards your goal.
Right. It's not going to happen overnight. Anyone, to include us, can attest to that. It is not an overnight success story.
Yes.
Okay. You have to work hard at just about anything you
mm-hmm.
do.
So you can't be looking for an overnight success or a get-rich-quick scheme.
Right.
You have to know that you're going to have to put, as we call it, skin in the game.
Exactly.
Well, that is so important, too, because if you can become an overnight success, you can just as quickly the next night, you know, not be a success again.
Absolutely. You got it.
Very true.
You got it.
So what... What is the thing, then, that holds people back? I mean, it seems like such an easy thing. Okay, here's a problem. Here's
mm-hmm.
a solution to it. Then why doesn't everybody just do it?
Well, because people like to take the easy way out. It's easier for us to find excuses than it is for us to find a ways around the obstacles that are it's inevitable to come. They're going
right.
to show up in our lives. And we need to really find a way around those obstacles that we know are going to be there, you know.
And then, like you said earlier, it's the programming.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've been programmed, it's truly hard to deprogram anyone. It's really, really a difficult task.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself set and comfortable
Yeah, right? Yeah. In your cubicle and following instructions that someone else has laid out for you, but guess what? You don't have the same securities and fulfillment as you would in owning your own.
Absolutely.
So it is easier to just go to work, follow instructions. The structure's already designed and it's there, and you just show up and you do your small part and you leave. But like she said, it leaves you unfulfilled, overworked, underpaid, and et cetera, et cetera. But it is easier to many than it is to sit and create their own. And that's the problem.
I actually heard John Olstein, many people might not be familiar with him. He's Joel's dad. I heard him say one time, he believes very strongly that everybody has an opportunity, multiples usually, but at least one opportunity in their life to become a millionaire. The problem is that we're not looking for it, and we're not prepared as a person when that opportunity comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the majority.
True. Very ill prepared.
Right.
For that,
it's not something, you know, again, going back, it's not something that's taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing anywhere close to that that's being taught in the you know, public school, you know, and that's the majority of what, you know, the United States has set up, public school. So it's not being taught. So where are they going to learn it from? Like we said earlier, this struggle is inherited.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, so it really starts, Steve, with, you know, we do have to kind of reprogram ourselves, become desensitized to the old program, like get rid of that system and kind of out with the old, in with the new. We need to start investing in ourselves by starting our own businesses. So our book really is then a multi-layered motivational guide to empower predominantly women, although we're speaking to women as that's our target audience, certainly these principles apply to anyone. So I don't want anyone, you know, to be discouraged from picking up this book for that reason, but it is absolutely able to be applied to anyone. So we are encouraging, empowering, inspiring women to invest in themselves. This also includes not just investing in our own businesses, but investing in ourselves as far as maintaining good health.
Yes.
You know, otherwise you're not going
Very
to be
important.
Able to enjoy your wealth. So with our backgrounds in healthcare, for those who don't know, both of us are actually healthcare administrators.
Right. Katrina's a registered nurse. So therefore we truly understand the importance of good health. And like she just said, without good health, you've really decreased your chances of longevity to enjoy your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You really have.
Right. So the bottom line then is this book is a motivational tool to use as an inspiration to start really whatever it is you want to be successful at.
Because it takes motivation to be successful in just about anything.
Absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely.
Right.
I love that. You know, I mean, if a person can even just decide, because one of the things that the book really brings out is, okay, fine, you've got the right mindset. It does not mean that tomorrow morning you need to walk into the office and
right.
quit your job.
Right.
No, please don't do that. You have to have a plan, and it takes a little more than that.
Right.
So
yeah,
let's
people
pull people out. Let's give them something practical that they could start with right now. You know, they're working their 9-to-5 job. They're willing to accept what we're talking about here. What would be the first thing that a person could do to really start moving in the right direction of having their own business?
So here's the thing. Many people don't realize how much they already know, Steve. You are set up. You're in a perfect environment when you're in the corporate world, actually, to learn so many different skills, and you accumulate a skill set over a course of time for the duration of time that you're working for someone else.
Right.
You want to take those skills, hone into those skills, and realize that those skills are transferable into the business world.
Completely transferable.
So, I mean,
right.
you learn organizational skills, time management, human resources, how to communicate with people. You learn about, you know, safety. You learn about,
That's
you know,
exactly.
greeting customers and customer being customer
service
oriented.
Right.
You know, so
if you want to make sure that you are excelling in your current role and then taking those very skills, you know, and we can name so many more, but that's just to give you an example of some of the things that are considered transferable to, again, to starting your own business. But then, you know, what is your hobby? What is the thing that you do effortlessly? The one thing that you would do for free, really.
Right, it keeps drawing you back.
It keeps pulling on those heartstrings.
Exactly.
And it's the one thing that you feel like you cannot do without. But it's the one thing that makes you feel so fulfilled. And so in combination, it's just really about kind of bringing those things together.
Writing them down
and then setting a plan in place. What are your goals? Give yourself, you know, 3 to 5 goals that you want to reach, short term. And you could do a couple of long term as well, but if you really want to see, you know, have a, you know, some wins pretty immediately, you know, then don't set the bar too high for yourself right away. You know, we're not expecting you to run a marathon, but we're expecting that you're going to stay in action, doing just little things every day to work towards your goals. So that might mean, you know, instead of chit-chatting at work with a coworker or gossiping and being involved in office politics, during a lunch break, during any kind of a break,
Do some research. Start looking into what businesses are out there that you can be a part of.
Read a book. You know, many books are available. The whole World Wide Web is available to us at our fingertips.
At your fingertips.
You know, there are a lot of networking resources. There are webinars. Become a part of a professional association. People love helping other people. You don't realize that when you're stuck in your cage or your box or your bubble or your fishbowl.
Right.
You know, you got to get out of that and realize there's a bigger world out there waiting for you to be a part of it.
So that's just the beginning. And like she said, take small steps. Don't get overwhelmed, because then guess what you're going to do? You're going to walk away from it. That is the beginning. Small steps.
Yeah, small steps.
Well, and it's one of the reasons why I really love your book, is because sometimes, you know, you look at a book and you're like, I wonder what that's about. But the title says it all. And I'd really kind of like to leave people with the title of your book. Say it again.
The Untold Story, Live with Your Regrets, Die with Your Dreams, or Choose to Walk in Your Awesomeness. Very powerful.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone will choose to walk in their awesomeness. Katrina Tawana, I really appreciate, you know, all that you've done and put into the book, and I'm so excited that you are now a best-selling author. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on the show today.
Absolutely, and we're very excited about that as well. Thank you, Steve, for having us.
Hey, Steve, I just wanted to add one more takeaway message. Whomever's listening to this today, if you've heard nothing else, please know your dreams do not have an expiration date. That is so important. You can walk in your awesomeness at any age
if you choose to. So it's up to you to choose a life of entitled fulfillment. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, thank
we
you,
appreciate
and we'll
you.
Talk to you soon.
If you don't have your own business, I encourage you. Now is your time to start down that path. Like you said earlier, you don't have to run in tomorrow morning to your boss and quit your job. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is, now is your time to do your best, to show up as your best, and really make a difference in the world. And I really hope that you really will embrace that. Because in the end, Kathy and I want to help you thrive, because we know that you are out to change the world. You see, we talk all the time about making people best-selling authors, and in 2016, we made 156 people best-selling authors, and we're on track to do even better than that this year. We love showing up in the world and doing that. And on the surface, that's what we do. But if you find us, if you find out just a little bit deeper, you get to know what Kathy and I really do here at Kid Marketing. What we really do is we help change agents change the world. It's what we love doing,
And we're so honored to be able to take that unique, special, brilliant voice, that brilliant, unique message that is you, and help be part of sharing that to the world. It's our honor. It's our privilege to get to be able to do that. And we want you to be one of our best-selling authors. I know statistically that more than 80% of the people in the world want to write a book. So that's not a question of whether or not it's something that's crossed your mind. The question is have you done it? Because less than 5% of the people in the world ever have. And more importantly, do you want to write a book? Or do you want to write a book that helps you establish impact? Now, your book is not going to be that multi-million dollar moneymaker for you, but your book is going to be that door opener. Kathy and I like to say around here, little books are what swings great big doors. Your big opening can come from that little teeny tiny short read book that introduces you to people. Because in the end, we buy from people that we know, like, and trust. And until you establish yourself as somebody that's trustworthy, somebody that's real, not somebody who's living up in an ivory tower with a perfect life, nothing's ever gone wrong in their life. Have you ever gotten, you know, a message from somebody like that? You know, I mean, you either don't believe it or you just really don't care. Because in the end, you know, they're just up there living in their lofty world. Whereas real people with real problems that have said, hey, you know, this is who I am. But it hasn't always been that way. I went through this thing and here's now what I learned. That's where we really connect as people. And then, as I said at the beginning of the show, then you have the capability to live that amazing life because you're inclusive of the people that you allow in your life, the different cultures and opinions and ages and all of those kind of things. And then you embrace having a business and really, truly thriving in that business so that you can show up and be the absolute best that you can possibly be in this world because you know that you're here for a reason. I would hope. Now, if this is your first time listening, I want you to listen carefully to this. If this is your second time listening and you didn't catch it last time, really pay attention. And if you've listened over and over and over again and you feel like I've always heard Steve's close, I want you to take special notice to it today. Because I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant. Specifically, you were created for a purpose. And the world needs you. I want you to know deep inside of you that Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. We invite you to join us at bestsellersguild.com to be part of the family there that helps, supports, and encourages one another to do their best, be their best, share their message with the world so that as a change agent, you can help change the world. I want that for you. I know you have it in you. I believe in you, and I want you now to really go out this week and thrive in your life and business. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.